Okay, I'll say that again. We'll call the 1380th meeting of the Board of Directors to order. Before you is the agenda. We will be going back into closed session, so the agenda reflects no certification, should reflect no certification at this time. Are there any other changes or concerns, considerations for the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Are those opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Next is the approval of the minutes of the November 15th Board of Directors meeting. Is there a motion for approval? Moved by Mr. Acosta, second by Mr. Downs. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of the minutes?
Aye.
And opposed. We next have public comment, and I will call the name of the individual and ask them to come forward. The timer is there. We will ask that when you see your time expire that you wrap up and move forward in, to the next on the agenda. First is Barbara Mill. And I forgive me, I think it's Nilvel. Nilvel? Is Barbara Nilvel here? Okay. Come forward. Thank you. And to the microphone. Thank you. Go right ahead, Mr. Nilvel. Am I pronouncing the name correctly?
Millville. Yes. Thank you very much. Good morning. I'm Barbara Millville, President of National Capital Citizens with Low Vision, and I wanted to congratulate the board on winning the Accessibility Award. Last November, we partnered with WMATA to address a very important issue in people with low vision's minds, and that is the inadequate lighting in the Metro rail stations. And I wanted to thank the WMATA board, the AAC, and especially the WMATA lighting crew for their efforts to assist us in this. We surveyed two-thirds of the rail stations, and we confirmed what we already know. It's dark in there, and approximately 75% of the stations have significant lighting issues. And what you might not know is how dark it really is. In a handout that we provided for you, it shows some examples of the lighting levels in the stations at Metro Center and Smithsonian. And there are many more areas like this. And the photographs actually show that the lighting does not meet the emergency level lighting. So we think you'll agree that this is a very serious issue, and our work has been recognized, of course, in the Washington Post. It got over 8,500 likes on Facebook, as well as recognition by National Institute of Building Sciences and nonprofits in other cities. So we've got some work to do, but we think this is your opportunity to be a leader in the lighting area. And now you'll hear accounts from other writers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Millvel, and thank you for the presentation. It's graphic, and I think we will keep up on the good work and keep going. Thank you. Tracy Hamill. It's Tracy Hamill. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. My name is Tracy Hammond. I've been a daily, or I'm a, first of all, I'm a member of Barbara's committee and have been working with WMATA on this issue for a little over a year now. I've been a daily Metro Rail rider since 1999, since moving to Washington from the Midwest. One of the reasons I chose to live in Washington was because of the Metro Rail system and the mass transit system they have. I rely on it daily to get to and from work, and pretty much anywhere else I go. I'm completely blind in one eye and legally blind in the other, so getting behind the wheel of a car is not an option for me. You'll all be thankful for that. I just wanted to come here for two reasons. One, to say thank you for the efforts thus far that WMATA has undertaken in helping to improve the lighting in the Metro Rail system. It's been great. We still have, I think, a long way to go, but we really appreciate the effort. But also to impress upon you all and everyone how important this issue is. It's something that literally affects me and others like me on a daily basis. It's certainly a safety issue for someone like me. I've certainly been run over a couple of times by people in a hurry in the Metro Rail system. And because there are times, particularly during rush hours, when I cannot quite keep up with the crowd, who everyone's in a hurry in this town, we all know, it can be a safety issue for others as well when you're not keeping up with the rest of the fish in the stream. So it's very much, I think, a safety issue. Again, it's something that affects us every day. I think because the way the system was developed with the dimmer, you know, indirect lighting, the margin for error in terms of maintenance and cleaning is reduced. And so the better job that you all can do with the maintenance of burnout bulbs and cleaning and making sure that the lights that do work get all the light out that they're supposed to is very much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hamill. The next, just one up, Mr. Hamill.
Teacher, can you move your bag? I think that could be a trip hazard.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, the next speaker is Jim Vail. Mr. Vail.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Vail. I'm a Metro user for 2 years now. Like the previous speaker, I moved here to D.C. One of the reasons was because of the Metro system here. I'm legally blind with retinitis pigmentosa. I'm also representing Vietnam Veterans of America. I'm the National Service Director for VBA. And I'd like to share with you some statistics. In the 2010 census, they estimate that two-thirds of our 22 million veterans are over the age of 55. Age is the greatest predictor of blindness. If you ask any eye doctor, they'll tell you that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your service. Right. Okay. Thank you very much. The next speaker is Debbie Brown.
Hello, my name is Debbie Brown. I am the vice chairman of the Accessibility Advisory Committee's Bus and Rail Subcommittee. You'll hear a little bit more about our report on the lighting issue later. But I am also president of the Sligo Creek Chapter of the National Federation of Blind. Let me tell you something about blindness or low vision or any kind of disability, when it comes to you, most of the time it doesn't come to you suddenly. You wake up totally blind. But, I mean, I have been blind my whole life. There's no question I needed to use a cane, and I'm not going to, the lighting's not going to help me personally. But my experience is that when you are learning your way around the world, there was a rule about how long a cane should be, and the book said that it should be a certain length. Well, I discovered by spraining an ankle that it needed to be a little longer than that, and that is what happens to people. They have to learn the hard way what they can and can't deal with and how they have to learn to adjust to the world. And what we are asking for is lighting in areas where there are safety hazards, like stairs and escalators, because, you know, I sprained an ankle because I was 20 years old and had still had good bones. If I were 60 or 70, I might have broken in a hip, and that is one of the major causes of disability in older people. And if you break a hip, you probably aren't ever going to go out walking again, and you will be using paratransit for the rest of your life, possibly. So we want the metro system to work for people of all ages, and that is why we are interested in having good lighting in the metro system. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Thank you. Our next speaker is Federico. I'm sorry, John Federico.
Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you briefly this morning. My name is John Federico. I have been a resident of the D.C. metro area since the year 2000. I'm a regular metro rider. And I just wanted to briefly explain my situation, which is I'm legally blind, so I cannot drive. But I also do not need to use a cane or a dog, a seeing eye dog. So I'm able to get around the metro area just fine on my own. The main problem is when I come in out of a very bright area like the sunlight into a dark area like some metro stations. So it can be very difficult for someone with my condition when I'm going into the metro station. As Tracy mentioned, trying to keep up with the crowd and during rush hour, going through the turnstiles is one of the most difficult things for me. But when a station is well lit, I'm able to keep up just fine. So I wanted to emphasize the importance of this as a safety issue once again, not only for people in my condition, but the general public as well. It's easy for me to bump into people or people to bump into me. Somebody has a child or an animal, it can be a very dangerous situation. So I do once again want to emphasize that this is a very important safety issue. I'm extremely grateful to all the efforts that have been taken so far and all of the positive commentary that we've received. And I certainly am available if anybody needs any feedback or recommendations with regard to lighting at specific stations, particularly the ones that I use regularly. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Paul Kelly. Mr. Kelly.
Hello, my name is Paul Kelly. I regularly use the Friendship Heights station, and I use the Wisconsin Place entrance because I have trouble crossing Wisconsin Avenue. At that entrance, there are no escalators when you go down, so you have to use the stairs. Now, my experience has been since that entrance reopened, that not all of the lights have been working, or they are just simply not turned on, especially on the weekends. I use the system almost 7 days a week. Also, the shadows make it very difficult to navigate the hallway. It's similar to what's out here. I find that if there's uniform light, it makes it easier for someone with low vision to be able to function. Also, at Metro Center, when I get off, it's difficult to adjust to the low light, and I get bumped from behind. There are people with strollers, with bikes and so forth, and I hit them or they hit me, and it's even worse on the lower level because there's less space and even less lighting. So, and then I have a similar experience when I come in from the light at Capitol South, where the area to the fare gates is very dark and people merge together very quickly. and bump each other to get in to get the trains. Also, the stairway, which is right past the fare gate, has never had properly functioning lights, which makes it very dangerous for anybody going down, and I have seen people fall. In any event, thank you very much for taking this up and allowing me the time to speak.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Kelly. Next is Ellen Wote.
Hello, my name is Eleanor Waters. I too thank you. I'm a member of the Lighting Committee. Unlike most of the previous speakers, I am a retiree with macular degeneration. I sometimes describe myself as a macular degenerate. I need to say that one of the reasons that I live where I do, which we'll have to talk, it's also in Friendship Heights, I picked the place because of its proximity to the metro, and at that time I didn't know I had an eye problem. But I find that the metro is my major link to independence. And even though I am a retiree, I go to a lot of meetings, I do volunteer work, and being able to do it on my own is my approach to aging in place. I think there's still a three-year-old inside of me who stamps her foot and says, I can do it myself. And as long as I can, I think most of us want to do it ourselves. I'm comfortable with the metro. I appreciate the wonderful staff that you have. I find the people in the booths almost universally helpful. But there are places where I get scared. I change a lot at both Metro Center and Gallery Place. When it's narrow there and dark, and there are people rushing in both directions, I really feel I could fall either into the platform, into the track, which would be awful, or even on the platform, would cause an awful mess for me and for other people. Where there are poor lights at the entrance to the escalator is also another scary place. The green lights that indicate where you should go and the red lights that indicate where you shouldn't go are very helpful to people with my degree of vision impairment. I don't want to use Metro Access if I can avoid it for financial reasons and for personal reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Waters. Thank you. Next is Brandon Cox.
Good afternoon. My name is Brandon Cox. I'm the Director of Rehab Services and a Certified Orientation and Mobility Specialist with the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. I'm here today in support of the Metro Lighting proposal by the NCCLV. The overall goal of our travel training program at Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind is to encourage individuals with visual impairments to become less dependent on Metro Access and to use the fixed bus routes and Metro Rail system as their primary mode of transportation. We provide services to individuals across the spectrum of visual impairments, from low vision to total blindness. I will provide you with three observations of how improved lighting will be beneficial to the visually impaired community and all Metro Rail customers. Number one, individuals with visual impairments often choose Metro Access over the Metro Rail system due to poor lighting conditions in the Metro. Most individuals who have low vision are senior citizens with glaucoma, cataracts, or aging eyes. We receive calls on a daily basis from individuals with low vision who would like to use the Metro but are afraid because they cannot see well inside the system due to poor lighting. Therefore, they are forced to use Metro Access. Number two, all Metro Access customers gravitate to well-lit areas on the platform for safety. You can stand on any platform, especially on the lower level of Gallery Place Chinatown, and see customers typically stand in areas with most light, and that's usually in the center of the platform. The customers choose to crowd in well-lit areas and do not spread out toward the darker areas of the platform. Crowding on platforms causes safety concerns for all customers, especially those with visual impairments. And an increased in improvement of lighting would allow individuals to travel more safely on the platform. And also, improved lighting on the Metro system will lead to a decrease in the use of Metro Access by travelers with low vision and allow them to travel more independently using the Metro Rail. And I would point out that everyone who has low vision or is even legally blind may not be a candidate for a white cane. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cox. And the last speaker is Peggy Foos.
I'm glad I'm last. I'm Peggy L. Foos, and this is my guide dog, Smokey. We love the Metro. We've been traveling together now for 6 years. I actually only used buses. I never used the trains until Smokey was nationally registered. I agree with everything everyone else has said. What they failed to remember is that a lot of us, not just the vision impaired or the blind, we use the elevators. The elevators are stationary. I mean, I do not expect you to move your elevator to be a little bit easier to get to. But lighting is really important. Not only is the lighting insufficient, sometimes it's non-existent. If we can't get to the elevator, we can't use it. I came on with the NCCLV to be their elevator expert because they're able to use the escalators. With Smokey, I'm unable to use that. He's not trained to use the escalator. And I have horror stories told to me about guide dogs getting nails and mangled paws because they get caught in the stairs of the escalator. The lighting needs to be improved. When lights are out at an elevator, it should be a priority to get them replaced. I know we're all about lighting, getting the lights replaced. And if you have insufficient lighting, you can't see or feel where the buttons are on the panels to call the elevator because they're dark brown. And if anybody has used an elevator, it is totally brown. There is no distinguishing for what is a call button or a help button. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Foos. And I'm sorry, the last speaker is actually Michael Sindra.
Morning, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Also, sound my voice. Michael Sindra, disabled veteran, served our country more than most. I want to echo the concern of our friends with lighting. Metro Center Sales Office is a cavern cave. Even as a sighted disabled veteran, I have a hard time navigating. I would dare say those that are less sighted have real difficulty. And moreover, with the lack of lighting, Madam Chair, it gives rise to not a nice feeling. The clerks there are not nice. Chief and I have had tender moments of bonding discussing this. The two supers over there, Derwin Conwell and Caitlin DeHinbu. I think if you increase the lighting and more color painting and so on, and as the suggestions here, we'd all be better off for it. Hats off to a job well done, General Manager Sorrows, and the bus director. What's his name? What's the bus director's name?
Mr. Requa,
when you did the track work, it was about 3 weeks ago, the lines were closed, red line between Tacoma and Glenmont. I happened to be Friday, just past 10, and the buses were right there. That was helpful. After a long day of slaying dragons, that was a comfort. A couple things that have appeared in the news. The Metro legal fee skyrockets in 2009. It doesn't make sense for Metro having filed suit against the insurance carrier. That's lose-lose. Because the insurance carrier is not responsible for that crash or the accidents that happen on Metro. The comeback from Metro is, well, the insurance is the cause of low ridership. That's not true. The low ridership has to do with the fares. And in an economics class, Do you want to have one rider paying godzillions of dollars or many paying a fair amount, which is another, which another article pointed out. It indicates, too, public transportation use on the rise in D.C. region. That's good. In the words of Ms. Bowser, the bus has maintained, but it's the train that has decreased because of the fare. And then about the 26 rail cracks on Metro this year. Got to do better on that. It's decreased. And hats off, Mayor Yule, to your congratulations to your recent reelection bid. Unfortunately, in D.C., we have a one-party town, so there's no competition.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr.
And
Sanders.
Might add, Madam Chair, Mr. the Chief will be retiring soon, I understand. So we wish him well in his new endeavor. Yeah. Some articles I'll pass up to the Chief so he can distribute accordingly.
Thank you very much. Let me thank everyone for coming today, and I particularly appreciate the comments regarding lighting. I think we know the progress we're making, and we appreciate and we hope that we can make them as quickly as possible. Thank you very much. Next is the report of the Riders Advisory Council, followed by the Accessibility and Advisory Committee. And Mr. Sheehan, for the council, who's president for the council? Oh, there's Ms. Bryant. Yes, you can go first. Welcome, Dr. Bracklin.
Thank you. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be here today to present you with the Riders Advisory Council report for December 2012. At our December meeting, staff spoke with the RAC about holiday service levels. The RAC appreciates staff speaking with us so quickly after the unfortunate communication and service mishaps that transpired on Veterans Day. The RAC strongly recommends Metro consult with riders, the private sector, and others to find a solution that allows for track work to occur without major inconveniences and hindrances to thousands of commuters on minor holidays. Additionally, the RAC urges Metro to remain flexible to adjust service levels in response to crowding or greater than expected ridership. Also, at our December meeting, the RAC voted to meet more than once a month. We feel additional meetings will allow us to discuss issues in greater depth, and the RAC started streaming audio for our meetings live over the internet so that riders can more easily listen in to what is being discussed in real time. The RAC has tried our best to diligently and effectively work on behalf of riders. We created a work plan at the beginning of the year with guidance from the board and the general manager. We addressed all five issues identified in our work plan and provided feedback on numerous topics ranging from communication to anti-sexual harassment to bus stop improvement to youth transit concerns and much more. The RAC modified the way we operate to allow for increased input from stakeholders and additional opportunities to collaborate with the board and riders. For example, we expanded opportunities for members of the public to provide comments both in person and electronically. We worked with the board to establish quarterly meetings, and we partnered with the Mayor's Youth Leadership Institute to sponsor a youth transit town hall. Members of the RAC attended numerous meetings to listen to riders' concerns. And we also worked on two special projects, airport accessibility and incident communications. In closing, and as this is my last month serving on the RAC after two terms, I must say that 2012 has been one of the most rewarding years I've had on the council. Yes, there were challenges and some things didn't happen as quickly as we wanted, and there's a lot more work to be done. But when I look at the 2012 RAC overview and what we accomplished, particularly forging a stronger relationship between the board and the RAC, I'm proud of what council members were able to do given the resources we have. Speaking of resources, I thank John Pasek, the RAC staff coordinator, for his assistance this year. I think it's fair to say that many members of the RAC are more than satisfied with what we accomplished in 2012, and we eagerly look forward to doing more in 2013. That concludes my oral report. Thank you for your attention.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Brackmore, for your service to the Riders Advisory Council, the Riders, and to the board. And I congratulate you on your agenda. The agenda has been a very heavy one for you, and we really appreciate your service. And we look forward to you being a voice as you continue, not on the RAC, but simply being a part of the system. Thanks very much for your service.
Sure. Thank you.
And let me just note for the members, you will see a recap that is very detailed with the report that acknowledges all of the things that have been going on, and we look forward to continuing that progress that you've made.
Thank you
very much, and happy holidays to you. Next is Mr. Sheehan on the Accessibility and Advisory Committee report.
Great. Thank you very much. I want to say a couple of things. First, I wanted to thank the Barbara Millville and the working group that have done all this work in putting the lighting study together. In a couple of minutes, I want you to listen to Marilyn Lutter from our working group, from the AAC, who shepherded the working group together and I think has put together a great product. I think what I need to highlight here is that a lot of times you see myself and Phil, but we've got some other incredible people on the AAC. I'd like them to present their findings to you. This month it's going to be lighting. Next month we're looking to work with, get a report to you on bus stops, our bus stop survey. And of course, we're going to have the new paratransit contract coming through, and we're working with the Office of Access Services to work to implement that very smoothly in the next 6 months. So we have a lot of work to do, but I'm very pleased by the products that we have. What you'll have before you, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, are going to be a series of recommendations brought down in two or three tiers. Recommendations that I think they looked at two-thirds of the stations, indicated which stations have issues, broke the issues out into those issues that are maintenance issues and those issues that are capital expenses. Those issues were then shared with the engineers at WMATA. They were cross-referenced with them so that we could get their buy-in, and you have, I believe, a cost analysis associated with that. That's a lot of information to look at, a lot of information to get feedback on. We have a list of priorities, both short and long range. The other thing that we're going to be doing is taking and sharing these findings with the RAC so that we can get RAC, and you'll have RAC and AAC input and prioritization. So I think that's going to help quite a bit. I think that being able to get the joint recommendations is a good thing. Lastly, what I'll share is not only do you have this report with recommendations, long range, short range, broken up by maintenance and capital expenses, let's say, but the group headed by Barbara and shepherded by Marilyn Lutter here is also going to give you a white paper so that you have a document with their findings and their thoughts and input from the community in general. As far as I know, as far as I'm concerned, I think that's the first time I've ever seen a study like this undertaken by the disabled community, which not only presents a problem, presents a recommendation, has a proposal that has been sent through to WMATA, and then comes back with a white paper as far as justification is concerned. A very professional job, I think, done by the disabled community, and an extremely professional job done by Marilyn Lutter, who shepherded all of this through AAC. Marilyn, I'd like you to say hello to the board and present your findings.
Thank you.
Okay, there we go. Good morning, everyone. Happy to be here. I think you can tell from the testimony that we have heard already from various organizations, including the National Capital Citizens with Low Vision, Blind and Veterans Organizations, and the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, that there is a lot of concern about lighting issues in the disabled community. We actually started work on this in the fall of 2011. I learned by an email that National Capital Citizens with Low Vision was very interested in trying to improve the lighting. I suggested that they work with the AAC on this, and Barbara Millville cordially accepted that suggestion. we have met several times over the last year with initially with the maintenance department, and what became apparent as we were meeting was that although some of the issues were maintenance and not changing of light bulbs when they should be, that kind of thing, that
There also would need to be funding for new lighting in many of the areas. So in October, we met with Metro staff, the engineering department in particular, to ask them to help us in getting some idea how much this would cost. And they came up with this amazing, well, I don't know, to me, amazing figure of $25 million. I would just like to say that we are asking at this point for initial funding to help with the lighting problem, and also for recognition that this is going to be a rather long-term need, because well, the lighting in the old system and the years that have gone by, et cetera. And I think, you know, this is something that you're going to need to be looking at for a long period of time, and will require financial input not only this year but into the future. And that is the main thing that I would like to emphasize at this point. I am very pleased that we were able to get the kind of community support from the blindness and low vision community that we have, and particularly want to thank Barbara Millville and John Federico and other members of the National Capital Citizens with Low Vision Lighting Committee for their very intensive work in really studying the stations and trying to point out the areas where improved lighting was needed from the perspective of the low vision community. And they are willing to continue to work with us to try to assure that lighting improvements that are done do in fact meet the needs of the blindness and low vision population and the senior citizens population, where you have such a large number of people who have somewhat impaired vision. So I would really like to thank them for their work. And Patrick said I shepherded this group. Well, I can say that I chaired the meetings, but a lot of the hard work was really done by the people in the low vision and blindness community. This is indeed a safety issue, not only for people with poor vision, and I myself have been legally blind all my life. I do travel with a cane. You can see that I have some rather unusual looking glasses. but I don't think that the issue is only one that affects blindness and low vision people. I think it affects everyone. And it is particularly difficult during rush hour when crowds are rushing along. And it is, to me, I think it's very important that people who are hurrying in a large crowd need to be able to see where they're going, so they don't, in fact, run into other people. So I think the report and that you have today and the white paper, which you will be getting early next year, I believe in January. This was a very carefully researched professional document, and I think you'll find it extremely useful. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming, and thank you. Let me congratulate you on the study, and thank you for the report. And I think the report was transmitted. We have the report transmitted to us. Kristen, someone. I think we will look forward to the report.
Okay.
Yes, it is a yes transmission. Okay, thank you. I thought we had seen some portion of it. Thank you. It's an exceptional, I think, task for the Accessibility Committee to do. I think the important part is that it speaks broadly for all of our customers, and it is only to the specifics that you've noted in terms of just those that have light impairments, but this has been a focus of the authority, and I think your report gives a lot of support behind of what we really wish to accomplish.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Downs.
I think the board looks forward to not only the receipt of the report, but the staff recommendations for implementation, how it fits in the next fiscal year's budget, and the commitment to some of the longer-term implementation steps. And I hope that the issue could be scheduled for a board presentation sometime in the first part of the new year, and would look forward to further discussion of this issue both with the AAC and the RAC.
We look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Mr. Bulger.
Very good report. Since I use Farragut every day, it really needs some help. But I had a question, Madam Chair. Did you all look at the new Dulles Silver Line lighting schematic?
I don't believe that was covered, no.
All right. Madam, if that wasn't covered, can we get an update as to what the lighting situation is going to be on the Silver Line so we're not repeating lighting problems into Virginia?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bulger. I think we would be delighted to have someone from the committee take a view. I've taken a tour, and we do see quite differences between the two, but I think it would be very important for them included.
Sounds like we just got an agenda item for one of my meetings. Yes, very good. Okay, we'll take that one on. Good, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Great, thank you very much.
Have a happy holiday. The next item on the agenda is a report from the chair, and what I have before me is a motion to move the resolution up of the appointment of Writers Advisory Council members. Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Dyke,
yes.
And a second by whomever. Yes. Second by Mr. Downey. Any discussion? Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Motion passes. Next, the report from the General Manager and CEO, Mr. Saul.
Good morning, Chair Hutchins and members of the board. First, I want to congratulate Mrs. Hutchins on being the recipient of the Council of Governments Elizabeth and David Skull Metropolitan Service Award. The award recognizes COG members who are local, state, or federal elected officials for outstanding contributions to the region. The Skull Award symbolizes excellence in regional service while in public office. This prestigious award is well-deserved, and it reflects the important leadership role Mrs. Hutchins has played in her 2 years as chair of Metro. My heartfelt congratulations to you on this recognition, and on behalf of all of us at Metro, we are deeply grateful for your work that continues to make a real difference in the National Capital Region.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
As you entered the boardroom today, and perhaps as you travel through one of our stations today or yesterday, you may have noticed a screen that displays information for rail customers. This week, we launched the beta testing of customer information screens mounted on 110 station kiosks. The project was designed in response to customer requests to have information displayed before they enter the fare gates. Like our website, the screens display real-time information about service by rail line, customer advisories, elevator status, and metro alerts that address delays and disruptions. Importantly, the screens also display the time so that customers know whether they are traveling in the peak or off-peak hours. I am pleased that this information will be available to customers thanks to good collaboration between our rail, IT, and communications teams. In particular, I want to recognize and thank Marshall Epler, Brian Anderson, and Chuck Wolf for their leadership. The testing period will run until the end of the year, during which time we will monitor for any issues that arise. I'm also pleased to announce that we have a new feature on our website, which is a special customer information tool for those traveling to the presidential inaugural activities. On the inauguration homepage, visitors can now click on What's the Best Route and enter their origin station. The website will then give you your best destination station on inauguration day to get to the parade, the National Mall, the White House, or the U.S. Capitol. The tool is designed to provide direct service without transfers and to help distribute riders on the system to mitigate overcrowding at key stations. I encourage customers traveling to the inauguration to check the website for their best route, I can tell you it's easy. I tried it myself, and even I could do it. And as we approach the holidays, I want to let our customers know that Metro is also taking a holiday break from almost all track work on the Christmas and New Year's weekends. Normal service will operate on all lines with one exception. There will be a single track operation impacting customers at Greenbelt Station only due to ongoing work on the test track for the new 7000 series rail cars. As you know, we have been advancing our Better Bus Initiative, a $5 million investment to improve on-time performance and reliability while reducing crowding for customers in Maryland, Virginia, and the district. The Better Bus Initiative represents the biggest investment in bus service in 5 years and includes more limited stop Metro Extra routes and refinements to 11 existing priority corridors. Overall, more than 150 customers, roughly one-third of all bus customers, will benefit from more frequent service, additional capacity, or expanded hours of operation on selected routes. The next Better Bus improvements will take effect December 30th, and I know one of the highlights will be of interest to many customers, as well as some of us in this room. Specifically, we will be expanding Metro Extra service on the busy 16th Street corridor to provide additional capacity during evening hours. Customers will now enjoy two additional hours of Metro Extra service on the S9 route till 9 p.m. each weeknight. These 16 trips will provide much-needed capacity and will operate in addition to the existing S2 and S4 buses. Also of note, Maryland will get its very first Metro Extra route along New Hampshire Avenue. The new K9 limited stop service will operate between Northwest Park Apartments and Fort Totten stations and will provide additional capacity for customers who take the K9. For complete details on all the changes, I would encourage customers to visit WMATA.com or pick up a printed brochure aboard their bus. In closing, this time of year is often one of reflection. I personally have much to be thankful for, including having the honor of leading the men and women of this organization that have accomplished so much in the past year. I want to recognize their efforts, as well as thank the executive leadership team and you, the board, for the support that you have provided. With the teamwork and support, I am confident that Metro will celebrate even more milestones in 2013. Since this is the last meeting of the year, I would also wish everyone a good time during the holidays. Enjoy it with your family and friends, and we'll be back in the new year. So that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Sarles. The next item is the report on the Planning Program and Program Development and Real Estate Committee. And Ms. Bowser, you have the item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, before you, we have two resolutions to approve joint developments that the Planning Committee has had the opportunity to review and has recommended approval. The first item on the agenda would be the New Carlton Joint Development Term Sheet. I want to recognize Mr. Nichols.
I beg your pardon. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Bowser. I wanted to make a statement regarding a potential appearance of conflict, and I want to recuse myself from the acting on this matter that is before the board. And with respect to New Carrollton, two aspects of information I want to provide to that. One is the New Carrollton Joint Development was awarded to the development entity prior to my joining the board, and no action related thereto has occurred on that specific joint development activity that the board has taken since that time. Secondly, I have no relationship whatsoever with the development entity in any respect or any individuals thereof. I do have a professional services agreement with a nonprofit corporation, which is, and one of the officers of that corporation is a family member of a joint development member. And so while there is no conflict of interest, and I did ask counsel about it, although she has not had a chance to sit back to do a memorandum on it or research it, there's no direct conflict of interest or either indirect conflict of interest. But in order to ensure that there is no appearance of conflict in any regard now or in the future, I want to recuse myself from participating in a vote on this. That relationship with the nonprofit corporation has no relationship with this joint development activity whatsoever or in any fashion at all. But there is a family member related, so I want to step back from that. I have had some dialogue with the board around this activity. There was a briefing that occurred prior to this coming forward about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I did participate in that briefing. And during that briefing, one of the questions I asked was for a specific list of the members of the partnership entity that would be considered for this activity. And upon receiving that list this week and reviewing that, I observed that a member of the firm did have a family member involved in a nonprofit corporation for which I provide professional services. So in order to ensure that there is no appearance, I will recuse myself from this activity and thank the board for its consideration. And I will say that I appreciate all of the work that the board is doing to ensure that under any circumstance there is no actual or appearance of conflict in any of our activities. And I know that we've all been personally involved in that, and I appreciate the sensitivity of it and want to take an extra step to make sure that the board and any activities that it does or does not take have no reflection on the integrity of the board. And I thank Ms. Bowser for the consideration here.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nichols. Madam Chair, in 2011, Metro selected New Carrollton JV LLC, comprised of 4 city enterprises and Urban Atlantic, to include the Donahoe companies, who will be involved in the hotel development as the development for the New Carrollton Metro Station. The developer is currently planning to submit a proposal in response to an RFP issued by the Maryland Department of General Services for office space. The RFP submittal deadline is December 4th. If the developer is successful, the proposed office building will kick off the first phase of the development at the New Carrollton Metro. The board has urgently considered this joint development process. It brought the term sheet to the committee at our last meeting in the beginning of December, and has presented the joint development agreement itself for the board's consideration today. I pause to say a little bit more about the solicitation because it's really reflective of how the board is acting on our long-term commitment to transit-oriented development. I think it's also very important for Prince George's County and how the county would like to develop around underdeveloped metro stations. We've been very successful in many parts of our region in adding value to the local jurisdiction through our joint development process, and in other cases, we haven't gotten to it yet. And that's going to require our intention and the good work of our staff. So I'm pleased to move the resolution that would approve this joint development agreement.
Been moved by Ms. Bowser and seconded by Mr. Dykes. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion. Well, let me come in and say that this should be a very exciting time for us. However it moves forward, it is an opportunity, at least existing this time, for us to emphasize some of the priorities of this board. And in terms of our vision and goal, we wish to improve the regional mobility. We wish to connect communities. We wish to bring value to the property of our investment of transit in their communities, and adding New Carlton's redevelopment to this is a major, major step for us. Do I recognize a question? Ms. Hampshire Collins.
Just a comment, Madam Chair. I just wanted to go on the record, thank my colleagues and the administration for the work that's been done to expedite this. It's certainly a shot in the arm for Prince George's, and we're very appreciative. Thank you.
Any other questions? Discussion?
Madam Chair, might I just move a correction to the resolution itself? In the fourth whereas, it notes that the Board of Directors approved the term sheet on December the 6th. It should say that the Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee approved the term sheet with the developer on December the 6th.
I think you're correct, and that we accept your correction. Any objections to that? Hearing none, we accept it in the motion. Okay. Now, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you very much, Ms.
Bowser, second.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The second item I'd like to move for the board's approval is the approval of the sale of the Congress Heights property. Metro owns approximately 41,000 square feet of land on the south side of Alabama Avenue Southeast. That includes the south entrance to Congress Heights, the Metro Station, and related facilities. The property is otherwise vacant but not valuable for development on a standalone basis because of its size. The current R5A single-family residential zoning and poor street access due to the location of the station entry portal at the center of the site. The property was appraised at $530,000 in 2010 on a standalone basis. The flanking properties on the east and west side are owned by affiliates of Sanford City Partners, LLC, and Sanford City Partners proposes to rezone the property to increase its development potential, and if successful in doing so, buy Metro's property and combine it with the adjacent properties for the development. The current proposal is to build a 240-square-foot office, multifamily, or hotel property with ground floor retail and associated parking. Sanford City proposes to pay Metro the greater of $3 million or the appraised value of the property as rezoned for more intensive development than is currently permitted. Madam Chair, this proposal was presented to the committee at our last meeting, and we unanimously recommended its approval to the entire board. I'd like to move the resolution.
Moved by Ms. Bowser, seconded by Mr. Dyke. Is there any question, any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Ms. Bowser, I'd like to go back to New Carlton because it appears that you need to have a statement approving the term sheet that was approved and that it's not part of that prior motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move approval of the term sheet.
Okay. Second by Mr. Dyke. And any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your report. Next is the report of customer service and operations. Mr. Downs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The following action item was discussed at the December 6th Customer Service and Operations Committee. The approval of the bus service adjustments public hearing staff report, and the committee recommended approval as amended. The staff report of public comments from docket B1203 and service adjustments in Maryland and Virginia to improve effectiveness, performance, and customer satisfaction as detailed in the following resolution.
Is there a motion?
A motion.
So motion by Mr. Downs. Is there a second to Mr. Downs' motion? Second by Mr. Costa. Discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I circulated for the members' review, and I'd like to move an amendment, which I've had the opportunity to discuss with Mr. Downs. You'll recall that I asked for the adjustments affecting the District of Columbia to not be considered by the committee when last we met. What you have before you are the adjustments in the District of Columbia, and I'd like to add to the resolution, be it further resolved that the additional service adjustments for the District of Columbia, as considered in public hearing docket B1203, will be subject to further community input prior to further consideration by the Board of Directors, but also be it resolved that an attachment B be added to the resolution that includes the bus service adjustments for the District of Columbia.
Thank you. Motion by Ms. Bowser is there. A second to her amendment.
Okay.
That's good. Any discussion? Hearing none. Then we have the resolution amended with the additional. Let's vote on the amendment first. Let's, all those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
And opposed? Now we have the amended resolution. All those in favor of the resolution as amended?
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you very much. Is there anything else, Mr.? No, nothing else. Thank you very much. With that, brings us to our report from the jurisdictions. Is there a report from the consent agenda? I want to go faster. There is one item on the consent agenda before us today. Is there a motion for the consent agenda? Moved by Mr. Dyke and seconded by Mr. Downey. Discussion on the agenda? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Now, the report from the jurisdictions. Mr. Downs.
The District of Columbia has nothing to report, Madam Chair.
And Mr. Barnes. And I have no report from Northern Ms.
It might be worth noting that that the executive director for the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission is retiring, and the job description will be out on the street. A solicitation will be out in the street after the first of the year, and we say it here so that those who might be interested in that position are aware. It's a changing of the guard. Mr. Taube has served for more than 30 years, I think, almost since the beginning of the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, and there's an opportunity there if folks are interested, and we're looking forward to the process that will ensue. Yeah.
Thank you for that reminder, Ms. Hines. Anything from the federal government?
Nothing to report, but we could all watch closely for the fiscal cliff.
We would like to close our eyes on that one, but that's it. With that, no other business coming before the board, I'd like to take this time to also extend our best wishes to the members of the authority and our customers, and to my board members, that we have a happy holiday and a safe holiday, and thank you for all your work during the year, and we look forward to 2013. Thank you very much. With that, we will reconvene in executive session, and we are adjourned here.